I got a vibe tells me I should be sitting in on this scene for a while.
I am Soundwave. I am Decepticon. The revolution begins now.
Jazz here, and I'm jiving to this episode of Transformation Animation featuring Mike Blanchard, Stephen C. Phillips, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Transformation Animation Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Steve Drew and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hey, sir.
And Peacon Court Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. So what's going on with you, Steve?
It's going. Other than that, I've been...
That's all I got.
Yeah. Ta-da! No, I've been working on voice crap lately, trying to land at least one paid gig, which it's proving difficult, but, and like the other voice actors, the real ones say, you can't get discouraged, you just have to keep going. You may get one, you may not, whatever, just keep auditioning. So, that's the plan. Besides that, I rented, more so, a book on how to actually act and improv at the library.
Good.
So that I can actually, you know, kind of put my marbles where the voice is. So.
Yeah. You totally need that. I mean, you're good with the voices, I think, but you really need to work on your improv.
Yeah, because when I get put on the spot, I'm kind of like, hello.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, yeah, that's part of it. And then other than that, the teaser poster for Beast Wars Dark Glass was released 2 days ago.
I saw that. And my response was... You didn't see my response?
No.
I didn't, no.
Oh. I said, released in 2016, you better produce harder.
That's what she said. But,
been working on it for how long now? At least a year already. So.
They've been knocking out the modeling of the characters and trying to get the bipeds so they transform over the year.
It's been a year or so since you first told us about this. From now until 2016, that's a long time to do stuff. So I'm sure
it is. But the problem is, we've only got 3 people that can actually do the texturing and animation. So that, in between doing their normal, like, real-life jobs and their families and all that, so it just kind of is, you know, they want to get it pumped out faster. It's just, there's not, they don't want to disappoint people, kind of like how Duke Nukem did. You know, we're coming out 1999.
Wow.
13 years later, you know, so they're setting a farther target date so that if it does get done sooner...
13 years later and we still give you a shitty game.
Yeah, so that's why we set, you know, the date so late is so that cuz all the voicing is in, everybody's approved except for our fucking Rampage. So if I don't hear back and the backup won't do it, I'm going to recast that role cuz I'm getting tired of waiting. I've been badgering for 3 months on this. Everybody else has turned their lines in.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, but if you overall... have to wait 5 years and it ends up looking like ass, then, you know...
Well, see, and that's what they want to make sure that it looks mainframe quality.
Just pound that shit out in a weekend. Put it out there.
I don't think that's going to happen.
This coming from the guy that won't do any YouTube videos because he says it takes too much damn work to do them.
I want to do it right.
Going back to you. Okay, you just said it, Michael. These guys, they want to do it right. And if it takes them 6 years to do it right, then it takes them 6 years to do it right.
Well, it might be 6 months, not 6 years. In 6 years, technology is going to be so advanced that in that field that, you know, it shouldn't take 6 years to do it.
Well, it's not going to be 6 years.
There's tools now that do all the animation for you. I mean,
it's going to be five. But
it's going to be five.
But no, it may come out in 2014, though. It's just they're targeting it because it's the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars by then.
That's true.
And yeah. I said,
15th anniversary of Beast Wars.
Yeah, it's
well,
not
technically that's this year.
It's not going to come out this coming weekend at TFCon. They're going to be the poster at TFCon with everybody's names on it.
I saw something like that for it was associated with TFCon. And it's like Dark Glass. I'm thinking.
Well, Dark Glass is not associated with TFCon.
Well, no. Dark Glass isn't. What you probably saw, Michael, was the.
You saw the TFCon thing, and they used some of the modeling. Like, the guys that are doing Dark Glass had to take a break from it to do that for John Bailey, who made the TFCon teaser.
Yeah.
There was a TFCon teaser with David Kaye voicing Megatron again, but the model was from the Beast Wars Megatron model was from the Dark Glass stuff.
Yeah, yes. See, they probably pounded that out in a weekend, and it didn't look bad.
No, but it also wasn't just them. They had the guys that usually do all the regular animating, you know, their, that Blaster Ink or whatever, and then the guy that does John's normal stuff, and then they've got some of the other 3D animators. So, yeah, that's... If they could get everybody on board, I'm sure they could pump this out within a year.
Yeah.
But since it's just these three guys, it's probably going to take a while. Hopefully sooner. I'm optimistic.
Crossing the fingers.
Yes.
Yeah. And what have you been up... Okay, then. What have you been up to, Michael?
Nothing. I'm just doing the daddy thing.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? Since I'm in Indiana, it could also be, who's your daddy?
Oh, God. That's a horrible, horrible joke.
That is hilarious.
Right. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? That's right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing, just taking care of the kids and watching them grow, and it's, you know, they're adorable at this age. And Aiden has been watching Transformers Prime with me.
Yeah.
He likes it, but, you know, it was funny because we watched these three episodes that we're about to review. We watched those together. And he loved it. I watched three of them with him. But he loved it. He thought it was awesome. He loves Bulkhead. He loves Bumblebee.
Okay, whoa. You're watching Transformers Prime with him. This is Transformers Animated.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. We watched Animated, the first three episodes, and then we watched Prime together, and he's like, who's that? And I said, it's Bulkhead. And he goes, oh, yeah.
That's almost like your story of him watching Star Wars.
Yeah.
Was that for that from today?
I believe so, about Luke.
We were reading a book. It was story time, and he's got a book called Star Wars Heroes, and each page has a different character on it. And we, you know, we did Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan, and then there was Anakin Skywalker, and I said, well, this is Anakin Skywalker. And he's like, well, is that like Luke? And I said, well, you know, that's Luke's dad. And he goes, oh, well, he's Darth Vader. And I was like, yeah, you know, I got this geek pride thing going on. Like, I'm so proud of my boy because he put this together, you know, and he's never even seen Empire. So I don't even know where he got that from, but I just thought it was funny.
That is funny.
And as for me, I've just been doing the normal stuff. I recorded an episode with animation aficionados Neil and Ben over there. Recorded the Twig Topic Show on Captain America. That'll be out. That'll be coming soon. What else have I been doing? Been going through the almanacs a bit, just looking at different stuff in there. And that's pretty much it. So I think we're going to get into some episodes.
The Autobot. Illogical. Autobots are machines. They are traitors who live to serve the humans. Conclusion, Autobots must be destroyed.
Transformers.
So first up today is Sound and Fury. Megatron creates Soundwave, a robot in the form of a toy robot for Isaac to give to Sari for her birthday. Bulkhead is the only one who finds the toy to be a bad thing and finds out that the toy is evil. Unknown to Sari, the more she uses her key on Soundwave, the more he will evolve into a bigger robot, which Megatron intends to use as his new body. However, after using the key many times, Soundwave becomes self-aware and assembles all the robots in Detroit to combine with them to create an army. When the Autobots catch wind of Soundwave's plan, they try to stop him. Most of the Autobots get overwhelmed, and Bulkhead goes down to the sewers to confront Soundwave. Soundwave tries to convince Bulkhead to his logic. Bulkhead tricks Soundwave and smashes him to pieces, but Soundwave survives as a cassette player. Dun dun dun.
Dun-dun.
Yeah. Now, we've had bad human villains so far, but they're tolerable. For, like, Angry Archer, I can tolerate him. Nanosec, I can tolerate him. Worst human villain ever, Professor Princess. Are you fucking kidding me?
I like Professor Princess. I dig it.
Oh my god.
She's here to save us from awful violent toys.
Okay, but alright, hold on. Alright, so you just said that she's here to save us from awful violent toys.
Yeah.
She's here to do that by being fucking violent. Really?
Well, how violent are, you know, kittens shot from a bazooka?
If they explode, they're pretty fucking violent.
Well, what kills me, though, is she's not here to rob banks. She's not here to take over the world. She's here to trash my stuff. I love that. What better motivation for a supervillain? You can't say she's not a supervillain because she has a flying powdered sugar?
Pony.
Powdered sugar, the flying... Well, it's a unicorn pony.
Apocalypse pony.
It's a Transformers My Little Pony crossover. Straight
it's
up.
Awesome. It is awesome. Did you see the name of the toy store that she trashes?
Yeah. Wyatt's Toys.
Wyatt's Toys. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, if I were making a cartoon, I would totally have a Wilson Toys. And I would have a Professor Princess fly powdered sugar in and trash it.
I thought this was, I don't know, the whole birthday party thing, like, they've had a theme to go along with every story, so, not every story, but most of the stories, like, we had the Halloween episode that centered around Black Arachnia, we had the, what was the other one, the kind of 4th of July thing that centered around Nanosec, and now, all of a sudden, it's Sari's birthday.
Sure, why not?
I guess, but as we've said before, time in the animated universe is very, very weird.
Yeah, you know, we haven't seen a Christmas episode yet. We go that from July come till,
that
to October.
That doesn't come until season 3.
Okay, so yeah, so July, October, and now it's supposedly springtime again. Because, you know, it gets really cold in Detroit.
Yeah.
But it seems to be nice and summery here where all the kids are out in the stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would know how you know, Michigan is. It sucks.
It sucks, exactly. It's even worse than Chicago, I think. But, yeah, that was funny, because they're like, of course they came. You're their parents' boss.
Yeah.
Daniel is there.
Yep,
Daniel makes
there.
Another appearance. So the question becomes, does Spike work for SumDac?
No, he works for Sam.
He works for...
oh, that's bad.
sorry. I had to throw that.
Works
bad joke.
Right over my head. I'm sorry.
Sam, he's saying he works for WitWiki from the movie.
Oh, he is Sam from the movie.
Nah.
Better hair.
No, Spike in here is a hell of a lot better than fucking Shia LaBeouf.
He comes to this the world twice. You better hire me, fucker. You know.
Carly made a new appearance.
Do you think that was Carly? She looked a little tan.
In this Carly. Episode?
Yeah.
I only noticed Daniel. Daniel, it's obvious. He's front and center. I didn't notice if Carly or Spike
wasn't in this one. Carly showed up in Headmaster, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Because because Bulkhead was busy trashing the area, and he tore the arm off of the reporter bot.
Oh, that's right. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Well, Daniel was crying, and then somebody ran over, but it didn't look much like Carly.
I thought this was a really interesting way of creating and bringing Soundwave into this animated universe. Instead of just having him be there, like, already existing, I thought this was really, really cool how they did this.
I like the giant Walkman. The giant Walkman grows legs and walks away.
Yeah.
Because it's a Walkman, so he can walk.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny. It was neat that, it was only Soundwave's box, but it was cool how they, put that cameo in there.
Yeah. Soundwave controls all robots.
Soundwave is the Pied Piper of robots.
Ain't that... I was hoping for a Pied Piper reference in the actual really? Episode. No,
I like how all the robots become Bender.
Yeah.
Die, all you meatbags.
That was great. That was great. I love Soundwave's upgraded form. That's just so awesome.
He does look cool.
It's better in the cartoon than the actual toy. The toy version of it, the actual action figure.
It looks
the
same. It looks the same.
I don't know. Soundwave is too... Soundwave, the deluxe Soundwave action figure, he's midget. He doesn't even feel like a deluxe to me at all. And I know it's in the animated style. I know it's in the animated workings of how they made the animated toy line, but...
Yeah.
Is like one of my least favorite animated toys.
Oh, no. See, he's a little stocky as a toy. Stocky, like, short and squat. But I really think that's how he looked in the cartoon, too.
Yeah.
I think it's a great toy. Now, what I would have liked to have seen is a talking Voyager-sized toy.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, the revolution begins now.
Yeah.
I think that would rule.
Yeah.
That would
Why
been
is
awesome.
He made of Legos in the show?
Well, he's not made of Legos. He's made of other...
No, I'm saying when he shatters...
Oh.
It's almost like, it's not Legos, but it's the same mentality of if you throw a Lego creation against the wall, it's going to shatter into a million pieces.
Well, when it shatters, you see little bits of robot flying around. It doesn't look like Legos.
There are a couple of scenes when they're sweeping the stuff up, when Bulkhead's cleaning up, that you can see a little bit of like the circular block things on some of the pieces. So, yeah, I can kind of see that. Anybody notice the Krimzeek, please stand by TV screen?
Yeah, that's a nice cameo.
I love that. That's so awesome. And I guess winking means people aren't going to do what you expect them to.
I think the wink was just there for Sari to realize that he was just kidding.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I'm going to, pull a big twist. It's not like M. Night Shyamalan is over there winking. Wink, there's a twist coming, It's just like to let her know that I'm not really going to squish you. It just looks like I'm going to squish you. It's okay.
Yeah. And I love Megatron's line at the end. When I get my he's talking about the key. When I get my servos on it, as soon as I have servos. I just kind of love this episode all around. I didn't really, like, outside of Professor Princess, I really didn't find too many things that wrong with it on my own watching it. I like it because it's Soundwave.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, yes, there are humans in this a little bit, but it's not, I mean, this isn't a total human episode. This is more so an almost all robot episode. Yes, there's Sari's party. Yes, there's Sumdac and all that. But, I mean, to have a total, you know, to have a Soundwave that's characteristic is machines should take over the world, you know, and actually showing him taking over machines to take over the city. That, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I really liked Soundwave in this, and one of the things I liked most is that they actually used the voice modulator.
Yep. But that is Jeff. That's Jeff Bennett doing the voice, though.
Oh, well, I mean, you know.
I'm just saying. Yes, they used the modulator, but it's Jeff Bennett who's credited as Soundwave, I believe.
Well, I don't expect Frank Welker to come back and use the voice modulator, but. I thought it was nice. I know. Well, because I'm one of the biggest complainers, period. But I'm one of the biggest complainers about not using the voice modulator in the movie.
Yeah.
And the big reason there was you can't understand what he's saying. And, you know, I would, you know, counter that with he doesn't say much. He had like one line in each movie, maybe two in the last movie. Yeah. But, you know, the fact is, when Soundwave talks here, I don't understand much of what he's saying. I literally had to go back and listen to it again to understand what he was saying. So, I mean, that was a downside. But the one thing I understood him saying was when he was calling out the operation. You know, operation recruitment. And I think he said it twice.
Yeah, but that's a nice touch.
It was awesome. It was really cool. So I was happy. I mean, as far as Soundwave goes, you gotta have a Soundwave, but I was just really digging the way they did it here.
Yeah, it was. Steve, what did you like about the episode or didn't like, or what do you got for the episode for Sound of Fury?
Well, human characters aside, because, you know.
Yeah.
I would say that Professor Princess should go mount her little pony and crash into a fucking river and drown, but. Go ride your apocalypse pony. Soundwave, step on her. But I liked how the key actually took... It actually had a purpose in creating something in this.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Whereas before it's like, oh, you know, insert shameless plug here and yeah.
Oh, there'll be plenty of shameless plugs
in
episodes today.
Yeah, I should be doing a lot of plugging. Plug and play, yeah. Anyways, just like Soundwave. I don't like his little, like, tiny-ass bot mode.
That's kind of lame.
I do like how when he transforms to his cassette player mode, he does look like the classic Soundwave.
Oh, yeah.
At the end, or what do you mean? When he's, like,
both times.
Stripped out of nothing?
Yeah, when he's just basic... boombox, it's at the end, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a whole reason why he started off as a skinny little, you know, toy robot, and then kind of grew and grew and grew. So I would have been disappointed if they would have said, here's Soundwave, and you've got Soundwave. You know, he turns into a giant Walkman. I mean, when I was really happy when the giant Walkman walked away and it was a little tiny robot, because I thought, okay, now this is the type of thing that you would give to a kid to dance around and sing for.
Yeah.
Not Soundwave.
But, you know, I did like smaller. I did like how they did that, though.
That was cool. And they kind of gave her an incentive to keep using the key. Because she does it once, and he pops out speakers. And she does it again, and he pops out huge subwoofers. And she does it again, and he gets bigger and plays more music. And she's thinking, wow, what is going to happen next when I use the key? So she just keeps doing it. And that was Megatron's plan all along. You know, he wants her to create him a new body. So using the key, you know, is a bad idea for her, right? But a good thing for Megatron.
Yeah. And I love the constant eye shift, the constant eye color change from yellow to red.
Oh, yeah, because yellow was the eye color of the toy.
Yeah.
And red was the eye color in the cartoon.
Well, not even that. No. In the cartoon, he starts out having yellow eyes. And
Red was the color in the G1 cartoon.
Right.
All right, so he's shifting back and forth from those two iconic colors.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because throughout this entire series, and this isn't a spoiler, so Kevin, you don't have to fast forward or anything. Throughout this entire series, they use color shift in almost everything. It comes in big in season 3, but they use color change all the time, like that, kind of like going, you know, just fading from yellow to red and back and forth. So I did like how they did that. I thought that was really cool. What else you got, Steve?
Did you notice Krim Zeke made the appearance?
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat. Overall, I think I like this episode just for the G1 nostalgia and actually watching Soundwave do something more than just eject shit.
Yeah.
He actually did Torment on his own, which was quite nice. And his beefed up mode, you gotta admit, looked pretty badass.
It was cool.
So, I would say that definitely, other than Professor Princess, I like this episode.
And I will say that this isn't the last that we've seen of Soundwave, and that's all I'm going to say about it. What about you, Michael? What did you like or dislike about Sound and Fury?
Well, I have to defend Professor Princess. Yeah, because...
Are you her knight in shining armor?
Exactly. I'm going to ride in on a sad little pony to rescue her. No, it's just so damn cute. It's like death by cuteness. We'll put it this way here. She's here in the episode. People are like, why is she in this episode? This is so dumb. She's here primarily to demonstrate to Megatron what the key can do. Because, you know, she shows up, you know, out of the blue to destroy things, and Sari plugs the key into, I don't know, a boombox, a giant speakers or something. And they use like the patented G1 jazz attack.
Yeah.
You crank up the tunes and the sound waves fly out and attack whoever is whoever you want attacked. And, you know, it takes her out. But the idea there is Megatron's watching and he goes, ooh, what I could do with that key.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's seen the key in action before and he's like, ooh, what I could do with that key. But here they're really, you know, they're really pushing it. And the the best part is when the horse head falls in her lap. It was such a nice touch, and I was thinking, what was that? The Godfather. You wake up and there's a horse in your bed.
Oh wow! Yeah,
I actually laughed. I laughed so hard because she's like, powdered sugar, no. I just rolled. It was so funny. Oh. And then, you know, the only other time you really see humans here is at the birthday party. And yeah. that had a few good moments, like the purple dinosaur pinata.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
No.
Exactly. And you got Ratchet in the background going, smack it! Smack it already!
That's what she said.
Was it a purple transmetal dinosaur, or was it a purple colorful dinosaur that belongs on children's television?
It wasn't like a barn.
I know.
I'm trying to
throw in the whole.
If it had a red eye, I'd be thinking, you know, Beast Wars Megatron.
Yeah.
It wasn't transmetal. It was just, you know, like the regular old dinosaur. But I appreciated it. I thought that was cool. And Professor Sumdack's like, don't leave, have some punch. And I'm thinking, no way. You know, sorry, just hocked a loogie in that. I wouldn't want to drink of that either. That's kind of gross.
Come here, kids. But, have some pie.
Have some pie. Yeah, I just hocked a loogie in it. I took a giant shit on your pie. But you know, as far as all the kids running up and winning rides on the Autobots, I mean, we've already established that the Autobots are kind of celebrity/heroes in the city. So, I mean, of course all the little kids are going to, you know, idolize them and want to ride in them. One of the little kids actually has an Optimus Prime t-shirt.
Yep.
So yeah, you know, I mean, someone's making money off it. But you realize, yeah, they know who these guys are, and they're all lined up. And they're saying, say it, please. You know, and Optimus Prime says, transform and roll out. Yeah, and you kind of get a feeling there how David K. feels at conventions. He's like, fine, I'll say it. Or even Peter Cullen. Yeah, because you know Cullen gets that all the time. Say it, Peter. Freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
No, oh, not that one, the other one.
What other one?
No, I was like, you were acting like Peter, you know, people saying, you know, say it, and then Peter says a line, and the line is not the one they want to hear, so it's like, the freedom is right of all sentient beings. No, not that line, the other one.
The other
Give
one.
Me your face.